We're talking to the industry insiders behind Tracy Twinkie Bird's Hollywood Monologue Slam. All that and more on Black Hollywood Live's Conversations.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live Conversations.
I'm into the good music, guys. You gotta bring it in slow a little bit. Eventually, the beat will drop and we'll all be excited about it. Twinkie is having a great moment.
What's up,
you guys? Welcome out there. I'm gonna let them just sing it a minute. Everybody's feeling it. Y'all feeling it?
Yes.
I see some movement.
Yes,
we do. Hello out there. You're Black Hollywood Live's Conversations. I'm your host, Courtney Stewart. And I have a full studio today with some wonderful, amazing guests that you guys are about to learn a whole lot from and see some very new and amazing talent. So first up, let me take it over to the other side of the table. I have casting director, superstar, super motivator on Instagram. Like, you don't know how many times you got me out the bed to go running, okay? Miss Tracy Twinkie Bird is in the building. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And beside her, there's a handsome young man who was an industry judge at the Monologue Slam last week. His name is Craig Ross Jr., and he's a wonderful director, guys. Welcome. And the man that you see beside me when you came in is also director of the Monologue Slam. His name is Joseph Alvarez. Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. And I have two beautiful women who are superstars and super talented sitting on the couch today. They are the winners of the Hollywood Slam, guys. And we might get a little taste of how they won a little bit later.
Yes.
I've got Stacey Osei Kufour.
Yeah.
Welcome. And the beautiful, lovely Anne Catherine Parma next to her. So we got a full studio with lots to talk about. And, I mean, you guys out there, thank you for joining us. Again, BHL Conversations, we're here to chat and learn some new things. And today we want to learn about what this monologue-ness is and, like, how did this all come about? So we're going to throw it over to Miss Twinkie first. Like, let us know, first of all, tell our audience, some of them may not be aware, Miss Twinkie Bird has been in this business for a long time as a casting director, doing amazing, amazing work. So
thank
I
you
want
very
you
much.
Up front, just to share a little bit how you got into the business and sort of what you've been doing prior to the Monologue Slam.
Okay, so prior to the Monologue Slam, I am a casting director from Brooklyn, New York, doing music videos. I started out in the music video world back in the 90s and moved into short film and then into feature film and moved to LA in 97. And I've been chugging along ever since, doing TV and Moesha assistant, and then doing film, Stomp the Yard, Notorious, Jumping the Broom, and being Mary Jane the first three seasons, and just finished a project called Media that the gentleman to my right directed.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so we got a chance to work together, which was awesome, because I've known him a long time.
Okay.
A long time. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. And so that's what I was doing prior to all of this. And then I got asked by a fabulous person, Tanya Kersey, to come down to her Hollywood Black Film Festival and put together something and produce something. And everyone was doing panels, and so I kind of followed suit. And the panel thing just got kind of boring, and the people started to dwindle. And I said, I really want to get actors involved and make it feel like it's more than just listening, but to showcase their talent. And monologues are my thing. Like, I love them. Monologues are everything. It's like the foundation of everything. So to me, a monologue slam was something that I wanted to put together, and it evolved over the years. And after year three, Joseph came to watch, and he was like, oh my gosh, this is a standalone event, and a Hollywood Black Film Festival did not have a platform at that year. And I said, but how am I going to do it? And he said, let me take care of that. And he just put together a proposal, and we did it as a standalone, and it rocked. Seriously.
That's what we like to hear.
Rocked, yeah.
Now, what did you see, Joseph? She said you came along 3 years into it, sort of. What was the thing that drew you in that made you want to do something else with it?
Well, the energy, for one thing. The energy from the audience, the energy from the actors. And it's just that she provided a platform, an opportunity for actors to shine. And what better time to shine when you have an extraordinary casting director right there in front of you, and she brings the hottest judges that have the greatest insight. And I think the judges' energy as well. She picks some great people, and the feedback that they give to the actors is like it's priceless. Mm-hmm. So all that energy I felt, and it got competitive, and all the competitive juices. And then you have all these audience members rooting for these actors, and it's so wonderful to feel, especially when actors feel like they have no support. And just to feel that, you know, you have these judges who are named actors who are actually rooting for you, and they know your name. And if they didn't know your name, they know your name after the monologues now. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool.
That's very cool. Okay, so he brought up the judges and how special and amazing they are and necessary. And we have a judge sitting right here at the table. Now, Craig, tell us how you got involved. I mean, you said you've known Twinkie for a while. What made you say, all right, I'm about to go judge this competition and see what's going on?
I've been waiting for her to ask, truthfully. Aww. I've been waiting years for her to ask. For her to say,
that's me.
So she asked, and I said, I was like, yes. I mean, I had to ask, you know, I had to ask my wife and make sure we were cool with the baby being taken care of and all that.
But I get it.
After that, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in. I'm definitely in. Okay. It was a blast. I had an incredible
time. He didn't know
what
to expect.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Going
he was
into
like,
it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I had no idea what to express. What to expect. I was so surprised and so pleasantly, like, uplifted by the energy in
Why?
The room.
Why the energy? What
because it's just... like it's when you get there, you don't. I mean, it's really just an extension of Twinkie, and Twinkie is just this incredibly vibrant and just energetic and positive person. So that's what's permeating the room, and everybody feels it. So when our contestants got up there and they started doing their thing, and she's bringing like she's called the Diamond Finder, and she's bringing like such hot talent to the stage that every time somebody goes on, you're like, whoa, okay,
yeah.
Whoa,
surprise.
Okay. So, I mean, add that to the energy in the room that's already there. Mm-hmm. And it's like one big, like, slam.
Awesome.
Basically.
Now we're gonna get to the talent that slammed it in just a second.
Yes.
But okay, so going into it, can you share with the audience, Twinkie or either of you guys, what's the process like to get involved as an actor in the slam, and how did you sort of pick your people this year and break it down?
That's
yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there is an entry process, and I was trying to figure it out and configure it, and I was like, okay, we're just gonna do the YouTube PayPal situation. Send me your receipt and your YouTube link. And that's what we're going to do. And they put themselves on tape. Because in this industry now, much like Craig knows, because we just finished working together, a lot of actors are booked from tape.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're booked from tape, everything to me is an educational, it's a learning, it's a teaching experience. Like everything. So I am creating this thing on a number of different levels. There's a teaching experience. So you learning how to put yourself on tape and sending it, that's an experience for these actors that they're going to have to take with them into this industry. So it is good to learn and get comfortable with it. Find your light, find your corner, find everything. Send in your tape. And it was a monologue. The criteria was a monologue for your type from television and film, because we're in the TV and film business.
Mm-hmm.
One minute or less. And the entry fee was $30.
Okay. Now,
serious
explain
people
type
need to, plot.
To our audience.
Type.
What do you mean by
well,
type?
Well, your character type is what it looks like you would be doing for a living or who it looks like you would play. It helps you to get on to the entertainment highway. Mm-hmm. Everyone says, oh, I don't want to be put in a box and I don't want to be just in one lane. I'm like, you have to get in one lane in order to then put your blinker on and move over.
That's true.
So get in the one lane. Merge into lane one first.
Pick one, guys. Well,
you couldn't land, on it. You know, like you were from a helicopter or something onto the freeway, in which case you wouldn't need to be in the lane.
You're stuck. You have to. Like, where are you going? You're Beyonce.
It was just ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
Once we got the ladies that also made it to the stage.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to know first, judge-wise, what were you looking for when you sat in that seat?
I was just looking for, when I first sat down and before anybody came out, just competency. That's all.
Just competency, okay.
Yeah, I was just hoping that, you know, we were going to get people that were fairly competent, that, you know, were at least off book and were, you know, just able to emote in some way.
What surprised you once you started to hear the monologues?
What surprised me was the level of depth from the talent. Okay. What surprised me was, you know, the level of experience that I didn't expect for them to have. They found levels that I was like, whoa.
Yay.
She's actually changing levels.
Okay.
And I liken it to somebody playing the piano. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and, you know, you can be, you know, Mozart, you can be Chopsticks. And I was expecting Chopsticks when I walked in. And I got Mozart, Bach, Beethoven.
Yes.
I mean, it was...
All right, so he got the masters, and we have the queen masters on the couch over here.
Woo!
So let's talk to you guys a little bit
about... hundreds.
They out of
two,
hundreds.
Out of hundreds, almost 300. We have two of 14.
And they were so good, apparently, they couldn't decide.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that one.
We will talk about that.
Oh,
but first, let's jump in. Okay, so Stacey, tell us a little bit about your process for selecting your monologue, what it was sort of about, and your work process of putting it together and putting it on tape and then making it to the stage.
Yeah, I met Twinkie from her workshop, and she kind of changed my whole way of thinking in terms of thinking about myself as an actress. I was always feeling like, I don't want to be the friend. And she's like, what's wrong with the friend? So I'm like, okay, I'm the friend. So in terms of picking my monologue, I did Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black. I felt like that was good for me because it was crazy, because I'm a little crazy, and it was comedic, and I can be comedic, but it also had some levels of drama in it, which I liked. And sometimes people have come up to me telling me that I remind them of Crazy Eyes, so I felt like that was the best thing to do. And my boyfriend is getting his master's in directing, so he rented like a 5D whatever red camera for me. We set it up. We got all the lights. We found the angles. I did it maybe 30 or 40 times. I looked at all the takes. I asked my friends which takes they liked, and then I sent it in to Twinkie. So that was also a learning process for me too.
Oh,
just being able to give up and being like, I'm doing my best, and turning that in. And the whole process has been really amazing for me.
Awesome. Okay, Miss Anne, how did you select yours?
So I had a really hard time because a lot of times when I watch my type, like I'm kind of, I feel like I'll age into a better version of my type most of the time. So I just wanted to pick something that had a lot of depth to it, same idea, and then also somebody that wasn't necessarily what they looked like. It's very easy to judge a book by its cover. So I went with Kim from Rachel Getting Married, and I liked that it was... You know, you have Anne Hathaway, and she's just lived this crazy, difficult life, and I connected to it on that level of somebody that was something so much darker and deeper and all of these things, and putting that on tape was difficult, but it was great. I actually had a couple friends that helped me put it on tape, and we watched it, and I had actually a very interesting feedback from my friend because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't watch it. And they were like, no, don't watch it to see like what you think of it. Watch it and ask yourself, do you believe you? And if you believe you,
nice.
Right? It was a nice little note. So I was like, okay. And then that kind of changed my attitude of what I was watching. And I said, okay, same kind of thing. I've done my best. I send it out there, and I'm happy with it. So, yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. So prior to putting it on tape for both of you, did you visit a coach? Did you just sort of work it out yourselves as you were going about it? Was it something that you'd done before or anything like that? What was the process just getting it to tape?
It's Crazy Eyes is something I have done before. So I was a little insecure about it in terms of would it still be like fresh and hot Twinkie. But I didn't have a coach, but I did have friends and people look at it and tell me things that they felt I could do more or less of. The biggest note that I got was that I was a little too crazy. So I pulled back just a little bit.
Appreciate you.
Same for me. I didn't have a coach either, and I just kind of dove into her story. And again, it was a friend of mine actually, so we'll call her my coach. But she and I were talking about the monologue, and she said, you know, this is somebody's real story. This is somebody's real life, and you have to pay honor to that. And so I took it just in a whole different research aspect and really kind of learned about rehab and what it's like for somebody to go back to AA and go through drug addiction and those kinds of stories and how they kind of handle that and deal with that. And I had previously worked on a play that dealt with addiction, and so I was kind of familiar with, I'd been to an AA meeting, and so it was an interesting what do we call that? Bridge, parlay, segue?
Hot leap, jump. But connection. Even though we prepared those Twinkie changed the game when we got to the
monologue. It wasn't my fault.
So we get there, and Twinkie comes down shaking a bag. So it's not your fault.
Sipping my tea.
She's shaking a bag. Okay, monologue slammers, pick one. And in there, you either had comedy or drama, because a week before the slam, she tells us, oh, hey, I know you prepped one, now prep the other. Yeah. And then let's see what happens. So we're all like picking in the bag and shaking, like, please, good God, let it be.
I'm calling to my aunt. We really did.
Did you get what you wanted, Stacey?
I did.
Yeah.
I got comedy first.
Yeah. Okay, and that's what you wanted.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do first.
And you wanted drama. Yeah,
yeah, and I did want drama first. So we were set.
Yeah. Right. But there were people who didn't get what they wanted first. Yeah.
Right.
There are people who were screaming. There are people who were crying. People who were like, damn, Twinkie.
Yeah, we have to talk about that.
People are like,
so
it's not my fault.
Was that both of them? Joseph?
I was like, yeah. Joseph's
whose idea?
It's the programmer.
Look.
Yes. I got to talk to you.
Well, here's the thing. We have 14. We have 14 participant contestants. Okay. And as an actor, I know how people can get locked on to their monologue. But the thing about it is, when I came up through the ranks, we were taught and trained
to have two.
You have to have a drama and a comedy in your repertoire. Mm-hmm. So at all times, you can just whoop out. Now, if you're going to deal with Twinkie, you better have a little three or four.
Apparently.
Okay.
Talk about it.
But the deal was, if we have 14 contestants, and a lot of actors will gravitate to drama because comedy is hard.
Mm-hmm.
We get that. So just to make it fair, and for the sake of the show and the tonality, we have to have 7 and 7. And what better way to figure it out by chance? You got some draws. But it will be 7 comedies and 7 dramas that the audience will see.
Okay.
He made me do it.
Yeah, you
made you
it.
Do it. I don't think it was that hard. Yeah,
I was like,
do it.
I trust him.
Shaking that bag. I trust him.
That's important. You should, for sure. Now, ladies, what did you sort of take away from your experience having to pick a random one out of the bag to the process of doing it on tape and then you got on stage and going through all of it? What did you take away from your experience?
Yeah, just the ultimate thing of letting go and trusting. I think, as actors, we hold on so tightly to everything, to this idea of ourselves, to perfection, to, you know, whatever we feel we have to be. And I think I was just like, well, okay, Jesus, whatever you can plan for me.
I think it's just
letting go and trusting yourself, trusting Twinkie, trusting the experience. Because that's, you know, life is chaotic. Life, you know, you don't get to plan how your day is going to be comedic or dramatic. You don't get to plan. So I think that's the biggest thing I've taken away.
Yeah, I think for me it's been just have a good time. Like, I do this because I love it, so love it. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it. Don't hate the experience. Don't get tense and irritated by it when you're up there. You know, I just learned to relax, let go, same thing, and just have a blast. And it was a freaking blast.
Oh my God. Oh, it was so a crazy fabulous.
It was.
So much fun.
And you know what is one aspect of the show is that Twinkie loves to educate as well as entertain. And shout out to the judges.
Yes.
Megan, Jordan, Pooch
Hall.
And Megan spoke about it. Like, you can have a script that you've memorized all week, and then when you get to the set, what happens?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They give you 10 pages, and they're like, go. 10
pages.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we change the game on the actors, hey, that's nothing more, you know, than they do actually at work here in Hollywood. So it allowed you to be flexible. It allowed you to flex those muscles of yours, and it gave you an opportunity to shine because we saw you in a different light.
Mm. Yeah.
And when you were able to, you know, take that on, you wowed the judges, I'm sure, you know, when you were able to just do another side. So it was, you just transformed from one character that we saw maybe about 20 minutes ago, and then you're up there again, and you're totally different. And that's so refreshing to see. And I'm so proud of you guys for doing it.
Thank you.
And then you whipped out, you guys whipped out yet another surprise.
Stupid coin toss.
Oh my gosh. Stacey looks like she's remembering, like in the moment, like she's reliving it right
now. Everybody knows why.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They all know why.
Yeah, they were so great. So good. And then it was down to three after the 14, right. And everybody was on the stage. It was down to three.
Final three.
And we had the final three. And then we got to the final two, and the judges were like split. And we were like, well, put some music on because we need to deliberate. And I'm just like, okay, well, you might have to do another one. And they're both standing there like, and Stacey's like, can I just get 1 minute?
Just
1 minute.
We
just
both needed 1 minute.
We were
like, was like, no.
We're standing back there, no. And we're both just like, they're, like not gonna do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
Yeah. You leaned in.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
But what's so funny?
Yes.
Oh, what's so funny? You guys think that it's drama and entertainment outside by the audience. You should see what's going on. Mm. Backstage.
That's
where the camera should have been.
That is where the camera should have been.
You were pretty funny backstage.
Well, first of all, we're like, everyone's rooting for you guys. We're like, yeah, go, girl. Mm-hmm. And then somebody will do a monologue and just drop the mic with it, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh moment. Yes. Yes. So with the stank on it.
With the stank face.
Ooh. Yes.
And so when these two did their thing, I hugged them, and I said, okay, you guys ready for another one? And they're like, what? It was like ghosts. They saw ghosts. And I said, it's okay. I was just messing with you. And they're like, they all calmed down. And then no sooner than I did that, some music come up. We can't deliberate. What do we need? We need more time. And it's like, well, we have an announcement to make.
And Joseph saved me.
For the first time in the Monologue Slam history, we have a tie, and we must implement a tiebreaker.
Yes.
Bring the final two back on stage.
And then it became everybody in the audience. They're standing. They're sitting. They're chanting. They're like, slam off.
Now it's time to really slam.
But it didn't work. We still had a tie.
We still had a tie.
Don't worry.
Okay. Yes.
And Mr. Flip a Coin over there just walked out on stage.
The coin is what broke the tie.
You know, no. They didn't know who to go first.
Right. Yeah.
So neither of us wanted to. I kept looking at her, and she was like, I'm not.
Anne was like, she can't do this to us.
You were the same thing.
I was like, no, she won't do that.
You see this? That's what was going on stage.
Yeah.
Right. And after maybe about 30 seconds of that, now I got up there.
Here he comes, the director.
And here it is. Here it is, where that came from. It's a slam, right?
Yes.
Remember 8 Mile?
Yes.
I was Mekhi Phifer.
Oh my God.
Pointed at Anne, called it.
Yes.
Heads. Heads, you go first.
Oh my God, it's your Eminem and I'm Mekhi Phifer.
She ran off stage like, what?
So what are you thinking in that moment? Okay, the coin flips, it's yours.
Oh, I said what I was thinking at that moment.
Yes, she sure did.
Which was not radio friendly.
That's why we on the internet, but we got you.
No, the immediate words out of my mouth were, fuck me. And then I was like, all right. So I walked up to the mic, and then I was like, I guess we're doing this. And I just punched you a little bit, my bad.
Okay.
But yeah, and so then you just kind of roll with it, and it was the same thing. You just gotta let it go and go for it. And I everything in me was just like, ah! And then you just had to breathe, and it just came out, and
So, Anne, I know you were into it, but did you feel the energy? How much people were, like, rooting for you guys?
I could tell. You could tell on stage, for sure. You could tell that people were excited, and it was just so much fun because it. You could feel the support. Nothing felt like
it,
anyone
it was almost interactive. Jealous. Like, you guys had such a...
It was crazy.
You could hear people yelling, like, Stacey,
it was crazy. Yeah. It was the best slam ever.
So our audience... Uh-oh. Might not have been at the slam.
No, they were not at the slam.
And we heard, I mean, like Joseph just said, you know, actors, you know, you have it in your back pocket, you can whip it out. It's your calling card at any moment. Uh-oh. So we might want to hear a little taste from both of you.
A little crazy eyes and a little Rachel getting married.
Whatever you would like to do, but we'd love to hear it. Who would like to go first?
Oh, let's flip a coin.
Maybe Stacey should.
Yeah, that's true. She got the first one.
Right.
Okay.
So we'll put it on Stacey.
How does this work?
Can you do something seated, or does it need to be tuned in? Okay.
Oh, I got to see this because I didn't get to see it, and I wanted
to. So we're all going
to
tune in to Stacey right now.
Oh,
those of you
man.
Who are not watching, she's on the couch, and she's going to make it work anyway.
Do I have to look at a certain?
Your camera's right up there.
Okay.
You can do it straight to camera, or you can do it to us, and the cameras is good.
I can't do it.
Any moment, whenever you're ready.
Darling. Okay. Hello, baby. Look at you getting your sweat on. You're all shiny. You don't even smell funky, though. I knew you wouldn't. You're a real woman, girl. A real grown woman. Not like all these other girls around here. See, I can't be wasting my time with them silly bitches. I need a real woman. I wrote a poem for you. You want to hear it? Before I met you, the sun was like a yellow grape. But now, it's like a fire in the sky. Why? Because you light a fire inside me. I wrote that for you. Know what? I'm gonna call you Dandelion. Because they're pretty and yellow, just like you.
Yay! Thank you.
I love that. Right. We got applause. That's
we got applause
great.
Track. All right.
Thank you.
We'll get Anne settled whenever you're ready, darling.
When I was 16, I was babysitting my little brother. And I'd taken all these Percocets, so I was unbelievably high. And we'd driven over to that park on Lakeshore. And he was wearing his little red socks. And he was just running through the leaves. He was pretending that he was a train. So he was just charging through the piles of leaves and he was making tracks. And I was the caboose. And it was time to go. So we got in the car and buckled him in his car seat, and I lost control of the car. And it went over the bridge and into the lake. And I couldn't get him out of his car seat, and he drowned. And I struggle with God so much because I can't forgive myself. I can live with it, but I can't forgive myself. And I don't really want to. I don't really want to believe in a God that would forgive me for that. But I want to be sober. I'm alive, and I'm present, and nothing's controlling me. You know, if I hurt someone, I hurt someone, and they can forgive me or not. But I can change. So I just wanted to share that. And to say, I'm really happy for you that God makes you look up. But if he doesn't, you should come here. Thanks.
Yes.
All right.
And tie. There was a tie.
It's still hanging in the room.
Did you feel that?
It's still hanging in the room.
That's why there's a tie.
Okay, so that's why there was a tie. So, Miss Tracy, I'm actually a little lost for words right now. Yeah. But you were on a new scale this year with the Monologue Slam.
Yes.
It was at the theater in North Hollywood.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
What has that experience been like for you? And then to get to experience that over and over again.
I started in a ballroom started in a ballroom, and then the third time the ballroom, they had to open the doors and make it the ballroom larger, and that's when he knew, let's take it to our own venue.
Yeah.
But this time it went from a 200 and how many seats, Joseph?
To 300.
To 363 seats at El Portel.
Yeah,
and I went there with my boyfriend Keith and my assistant Tony, and I looked at the location and I was like, are you sure?
Is that all it was? It's only 363.
363.
It feels like a lot bigger.
It felt like there were 500 people.
I thought there was a lot more people.
If
you would have asked me, I would have said, yeah, we probably have a 500 people.
Yeah.
It's the energy.
The energy was crazy.
Because the energy is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone was into it. No one was just sitting back. Yeah. Everyone was like...
And from jump, like getting there, because I was in the hall
for
the
monologues.
Carpet, like to see it. Yeah, for monologues.
And let me tell you, I was trying to pitch this as a show and going around, and people were like, I was before my time, of course, because I'm usually before my time. And what happened, everybody's like, well, monologues? Nobody wants to see boring monologues. And I'm like, but it's the American Idol of actors.
Yeah.
Right. It's really, this is what I'm doing right now. It's the American Idol. And since acting is the new NBA and NFL and rap.
Boy.
And we had Jordan Sparks.
Feels like it.
From American Idol.
So we had that, and they were like, no. And then you program it in such a way, like Joseph, and then you bring on these fabulous judges that are giving you so much life. They literally have to stand there in front of 363 people and cameras and judges and people they respect and admire and all, and get feedback in front of everybody.
Horrible.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That
has to be very tough.
It is. It's not some small room where they're just giving you a little, it's in front of everyone, but they are not giving, you know, cut your throat kind of, they're giving constructive, insightful
nuggets,
knowledge that they're giving you. You are getting stuff that most actors don't hear in 20 years of careers.
Now, do you guys have is there one specific thing that you got in your feedback that you held on to, or that it really changed something in how you were thinking about what you were doing?
I love that the judges felt that I wasn't acting. That it was all natural, and that I was that character that's important to me, because I know when I feel like it's acting, I just stop watching, or, you know, you start thinking like, dang, did I text that person back? What am I going to make for dinner? And I love that I could keep them in that world and keep them engaged. That meant a lot to me and made me feel like all the work that I've been doing is paying off, you know.
Awesome. How about you, Anne? Anything specific that you recall?
I think it was not necessarily what they said. What they said was incredible, but I think it was the moment after of the monologue stopped, and then they turned to give the feed. They're like, they all turned to each other, and it was just that, like, okay, what do we say? And it was this genuine, like, excitement for what had just happened, but also this just, like, this is so great. What do we say? This is so much fun.
They had their take it in moments. They were like, wait, can we have a moment to take
it? Just happened.
And see that. Like, to see that effect is so wonderful.
Yeah, that happened quite a few times, actually.
Yeah.
Did you get feedback after your second monologue?
No.
Okay.
No, I left the stage.
I left the stage too, and I was like, was that supposed to leave?
No, I...
And then I was like, oh, well.
No, you and me both. I was like, okay. Ed,
so, yeah. Big shout out to our DJ.
Richie was amazing. It was so good. He was really good. He was absolutely incredible.
He really, really was.
For next year, I would like to give a little insight, though.
Please. Okay.
If you could let the judges know who's going to be doing what in terms of comedy or drama, I think that would really help.
Really?
In terms of, because
instead of being surprised
because sometimes the drama is comedic and sometimes the comedic is dramatic, mm-hmm. and you get lost a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, okay. not knowing which one is which. And so right. sometimes that was the basis of our, okay, I need a minute.
Mm. Okay, to the train process. Okay, okay.
Right, because sometimes it. Your comedy's too, you know, got too much drama, and sometimes your drama has too much comedy.
That's
in it.
Interesting.
So it became like,
okay.
But I think if we knew, oh, this is Stacey's, mm-hmm. this is Stacey's comedy piece. Okay, then because Stacey's piece could it was really dramatic.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah. So it could have gone either way.
Understood. Mm-hmm. Okay, where do you guys want to take this competition? Like, what's next? Because every year it seems it's been growing. And what do you growing. See happening with Ooh. It, or what would you like?
A big
to
fabulous fat sponsor.
Yeah, put that out there. Sponsor,
a big, fabulous sponsor. She's great. It's a wonderful hair, makeup. It's a bunch of actors like. Cars, we'll take a car leasing situation.
We'll take cars.
Yeah, just all
acting
of that.
Acting coaches.
I accept.
Workshops.
You guys shot it though, right?
We did. We shot it for the second time.
Okay.
So we're going to put together some little sizzle situation again.
Well, why sizzle it? Why not just put it on YouTube and market it and get as many hits as you can? And that way you can get, then brand managers start looking at you if you get enough hits.
Oh, you got to get that YouTube page started.
Yes, I do have it.
Okay. I mean, if you might as well just let people know that you're ahead of the curve. And
yeah, you don't need that platform anymore.
Let me ask the contestants, like before Twinkie Slam, what other platform do you know where you can actually do something like this?
I don't know of one. To go out there and really kind of self-promote and put yourself out there like this, I mean, other than creating your own content and putting it on YouTube or putting it on Instagram, like someone we know over here.
Yes.
But other than that, I don't really know of anything that kind of showcases you with such phenomenal opportunity and with such great feedback and direction. I don't know that there is anything like that.
Was this your first year submitting to Twinkies?
Yeah, it was my first year. I had taken Twinkie Birds Intensive, which changed my life in terms of how I viewed myself, my career, my personal life, what I was doing, what I was wearing, most importantly.
Mm-hmm.
And
she always talking about she hate my shoes. It's hard when you got big feet, Twinkie.
Okay,
all
right.
But you know the pop color, like we were
pop of color,
pop of color. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Okay. But yeah, I think that was probably the only other thing that kind of I feel like prepares you for real life industry, where you really have to kind of look at yourself in that way of yourself as an entire package. So that's probably the only thing I know.
And I did a monologue thing where you had to come and to this, it sounds really shady, but you had to go to this like casting studio and do your monologue. But then I did it and they recorded it and then I didn't hear anything. And there were maybe like 400 of us and we had like numbers on us. But then, and when I got into the room, there was like just one person in there like eating lunch, like one of those terrible stories. So, you know, the answer is no. There's nothing like this where it's a competition and there's, you know,
and kind it's so promoted.
Yeah, celebrity judges.
And you get to promote yourself. Yeah. You get to see how important social media can be to your career. You get to meet other industry professionals. I had other casting directors there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're going to take generals with as part of their winning package.
Well, tell a story about the general. Like, we couldn't decide who the winner would be. So what happened?
How does that work?
What happened was I had to end up calling everybody and letting them know. Both of them were there. Robbie Reed was there from BET and then Matt LaSalle, who I love, and he's a VP at CSA, which is the Casting Society of America. And I had to let them both know. I was like, so we have two winners. So you're going to have to take a general with both of them separately. If you don't mind. With love. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, but they are very excited to do that. Is that what you meant, Joseph?
About the overall? Hmm? All the contestants?
Oh, they want to meet everybody.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
They want to meet everybody. I mean, they made a list, and then they were just like, okay, forget it. Just can we meet everybody? Because okay, everybody guys. Was great.
Love it.
Okay, so now for 2017. You take submissions from all over the country.
Yes, all over the world. So actually, we had two contestants in this. One was from South Africa. She flew in 3 days before the slam.
Okay.
And they both taped in Korea. So Danton was from Virginia, taped in Korea. They were both teaching in Korea, put themselves on tape in Korea, went back to their separate homes, South Africa and Virginia, and both ended up here in Los Angeles for the Monologue Slam. So I am global. I am international. And this project is, I mean, the internet is international. So yes. It's everywhere. So I accept. If you're great, I accept. Sometimes people want to jumpstart their career or they took a break, had children, moved on, got older, and felt like, well, maybe I don't have a shot at it if I'm not young and sexy and the ingenue or whatever. And that's not necessarily the case. You have to follow the business, follow my fan page, follow, read, learn about all of the different aspects. So many people are working now. We're looking for more men and women in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it's not closed off to you. Actually, it's open to you. So keep studying, keep learning, keep growing, keep living life so you can breathe that life into these characters.
Okay. Now, where do they go to find out all this information?
They follow me very smartly and intelligently on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm on all my social media outlets. So I'm usually Twinkie Bird or Twinkie underscore Bird. So for Twitter, I'm Twinkie underscore Bird. And for IG, I am Twinkie Bird. And that's where I make the announcement. That's where I let them know what to do. And then they can go to TwinkieBird.com, which will be up again very shortly because I'm rebranding myself.
Hey.
Right.
And TwinkieBird.com will have everything on there.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. What about the Facebook where
all the stuff you forget.
Yes. I have a fan page called Fans of Twinkie Bird Casting where I repost and post a lot of industry news and events and functions so that actors can be engaged and learn really how this business works. And you can literally watch the tide. If you are reading the trades daily, you can watch the tide change. Mm-hmm. You can watch the ebb and the flow. So, but you have to be paying attention. Okay. And so those things are part of creating an intelligent brand, and you are your brand.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll share also with our audience anything else you have coming up.
Recently, I have media coming up.
Media will be out, I think, in February.
Okay.
On TV One. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to that. I can push back.
Is it film, series? Yeah. What are we looking for?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it is a backdoor pilot. And,
okay.
We've got a great cast.
We have been thinking, you know, there have been, like, you know, small riptide rumors that it will be a series this year. So,
okay, we'll that's exciting.
The
cast is Gary Dordain and Brian White, and goodness, Christy Ferris, Pooch Hall.
Okay.
Yes, Finesse Mitchell. Oh gosh. Who else do we have? We have so many
people.
Yes, Jillian. Yeah. Oh, we have Penny Johnson-Gerald.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh, from Castle and everything else. Wow. 24 and all of that great stuff.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So it's pretty hot.
All right. So you guys said that's going to be on
workshop.
Yeah. And I have my workshop coming
up.
November 10th.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's Twinkies Actors BS.
Okay.
And the BS stands for Be Strategic.
Oh.
But it's provocative, so I'll keep it BS.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, I have that.
What's the date for that again?
And it starts on November 10th, Thursday.
Okay.
November 10th. Yes, they are. And then I'm producing now, so I'm reading scripts and pulling things together for that, and have a short film directorial debut situation called The Counter 1916.
Yay!
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So I'm working towards that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So I'm in the studio with an original song for the film.
Wow.
So,
fabulous. Okay. Anything else you guys want to share about what you're doing and what you have upcoming and where everybody can find you if they want to keep in touch?
I'm at Twitter. I'm at Craig Ross Jr. I'm on Facebook, but I have no idea what my Facebook is.
It's okay, we'll stick with Twitter.
It's great.
I have several projects, but
can't really talk about it. Yeah, right, that's how we don't
share just yet.
But that's why you follow him on Twitter.
That is why now.
Follow him on Twitter and figure it out.
And then read your trades because it'll be announced in the trades as soon as whatever it is breaks.
Yes.
It'll be announced.
Yes. How about you, Mr. Alvarez?
Yeah, I am in that same position, right? So you follow me as Joseph underscore Alvarez.
Okay.
And I have something coming down the pipeline, and it will be involving a collective effort, really. So okay. We're like family. Exciting. We've known each other for like so many years, like a good decade. We're going on a decade right now. So.
But what have you been doing?
Oh, so I appeared in the latest Notorious, NCIS.
And, American Horror Story.
American Horror Story is my favorite.
American Horror Story.
It's right on time for Halloween. I spent like 4.5 hours in makeup. And
so cool.
I was extra crispy.
Wasn't it cool?
It is very cool.
Was extra crispy.
You can
it was,
see it online, by the way.
It was Angela Bassett's birthday, so big shout out to Angela Bassett. She was, it was
and
her,
she directed she was,
it was
episode,
her direct,
right?
It was her directing debut for that series.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Exciting. Yes. Okay, you guys are going to have to go check out those reruns and catch them on Hulu and stuff like that if you can't find it. It's all online. All right, ladies, you up and coming new fabulous stars. Anything you guys want to share or tell our audience and tell everybody where to find you?
Well, I'm producing a play that's going to premiere in January at the Complex, the Dory at the Complex. It'll be a world premiere. It's called Synthesis, so very excited about that. First time producing, and I'm also starring in it, so it'll be a whole bunch of fun. Very excited. So I'm on Twitter and Instagram at AK Parma.
All right, and Miss Stacy.
Nice. I'm also a writer, and I'm having a reading of my play on Thursday at 8 o'clock at the EST Theater in LA. Yes. And I'm Stacy Amo across the board, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and Twitter.
Awesome!
Yay.
Congratulations to all of you in this room for putting together an amazing event and giving opportunity to the actors, because they're rare and hard to find, as we found out in this interview. So thank you so much for everything you've done. All you guys out there, thank you for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BHL Online. And most importantly, from Black Hollywood Live, you guys, tomorrow is voting day.
Yes.
Oh my God.
If you haven't, like he did, go out there tomorrow and make your vote count, please. Voting. Follow me everywhere at Stuart Starlet. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next
time. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.
I love you, Rowan. Sisters.
Bye.
Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.